First, I want to say nobody speaks for all of OA, especially me. What you're going to hear is my experience and my opinion and my take on things. So please take it with a grain of salt. So I had some trouble the last couple of days trying to think how to put, I think I have 42 years in program, or maybe 41. It's a January of 84 is my first meeting. And it was disappointing to hear people talking about God. In fact, it was scary or something. I couldn't even really say the word God, so I almost didn't come for my second meeting. But of course, that's step two. Let's talk a little bit about step one. I didn't think I had a food problem. I thought I had a weight problem. You know, if we could just figure out how to control my weight, I'd be a happy camper. I mean, I still kind of feel that way. I'm a fraudulent, traditional, third tradition person. All you need is a desire to stop eating. I don't want to stop eating. I just want to stop living with the consequences of eating. Sorry, that's it. So I was a long time trying to figure out what I needed to do. I had never in my adult life had any dieting that lasted more than from breakfast until about a half an hour later when the kids had left half their toast or whatever. I really gave up when I was young. I think I became traumatized by cabbage soup. My mother was a wonderful cook, and I liked cabbage soup for a little while until it was a steady meal of it for every day. And now I say the words cabbage soup, and I want to go, ugh, my stomach kind of turns over. Similar thing with grapefruit. Oh, that was another diet, Probably most of you don't understand this, but this is when I was little, it was those kinds of things. I think I learned to hate the scale because of weigh and pay programs. I was in talks and Weight Watchers, and there's one more, but I can't remember what it is. Anyways, all of them required you to stand up and get weighed, which is the same thing that happened to me when I was in school. We had to, once a year, had to go in a long line going into the nurse's station and get weighed, two people. One person was manning the scale, and the other person was taking the weights and writing them down. And of course, that was out loud. So when I left the room, oh, she's really fat. It was horrible. I tried to be sick on the day that they were going to do weights. Of course, I had no idea what that date was, but anyways. Weigh and pay was bad. So, when I turned 18, no, 18, 17, 18, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Leave me alone. And I didn't diet ever again. I still haven't dieted to this day. But hopefully, now I have a different plan of eating that is not a diet, but that feels good. And right. Let's see. I came into the program suicidal, but oh, I wasn't in such trouble as you guys. But I was thinking about killing myself. So what was I doing? I mean, I was really very deluded about how messed up I was. Nothing I was ever good enough. I can put my hand up in the air and say, this is perfect and this is me. So I'm never good enough. Never, never, never good enough. Don't know why. My mother used to say, you can do anything you want to do if you try hard enough. And I think that's probably what did that to me. So I always tried hard enough, but not hard enough, if you know what I mean. The bit about God was interesting. There were certain things in the big book that caught my eye pretty early on. Like one of them, really one of the most important ones, was at the back of the spiritual experience. It says there's a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. I think that's the first thing that I read in the big book that I actually understood. And I used contempt all the time to protect myself against things that I didn't think I wanted to know about. So hearing them say, you can't be contempt, you can't have contempt and learn this program was a hugely important thing to me. And even though I guess I started reading the book around that time to try to understand what was going on, it took me a long time to get past that. The next thing I think I read that made sense to me was We Agnostics, you know, because I really needed to get over this God thing. And then Dr. Alcoholic Addict, which has a new name now. It's a book, a page, I mean, a story in the back of the big book. Acceptance is the Answer. Is that the name of it? I think. It's a fabulous, fabulous story. Funny, funny, funny. And you can cut out the whole middle and still get the gist of the story, but it's all great. So, but the last three or four pages is where the where I get most of my hope. I learned from that story, nothing in God's world happens by mistake. Acceptance is the answer. The more I accept things, the less they bother me. You know, if I have really high expectations, my results are always going to be low because I always expect perfection from everybody, like I expected perfection from myself. So, anyways, it's a great story. I would definitely encourage people who haven't ever read it before to read it. So, to try to fix this God thing, I bought a book called Came to Believe. Again, this is a really old AA book. But somebody described the title of it one day to me in a different way, not just came to believe. He said, came, which I had already done. I had come to meetings. Came to, what? What? Came to, oh, yes, maybe I'm teachable, maybe. And then came to believe, which is an ongoing process for me. But I love that man for teaching me that. Came to believe. It's not going to happen in a complete sentence, he says, for you. Some people it does, and some people it doesn't. Which was the greatness of my first male and female pair of sponsors. What he was in AA, she was in OA, and in my state where I lived, there were very, very few OA meetings. So I learned my program through AA, which is why I guess I learned so much about the book, which I'm grateful for. Let's see. Da, 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 da. I'm looking at my notes, but you know, they're about 20 years old. So a lot of stuff that's happened since is not in these notes, but it's a good beginning, anyways. Oh, let's see. Oh, I was belligerently unreligious, that's for sure. Oh, here's one thing that was really eye-opening for me. You know, I went to my first meeting and there was nobody there. But when I went to the nurse's station and said, isn't there an OA meeting around the corner here? Somebody popped out of one of the waiting rooms and said, oh, yes, I'm just waiting to see if anybody else would come. And so she got the room unlocked and we went in, we had our little meeting. And when I finally decided I wanted to stick around, since she was so sweet to me that first meeting, I asked her to be my sponsor and she said, of course. Come to find out, she was a divinity student. Was like, oh, trial by fire. But she was so good to me. She really, really was. She didn't try to make me believe anything, she just wanted to help as best she could. Which turns out, you know, we helped each other probably more than anything because I asked her about step four and she said, I don't know what step four is. She didn't really know. So we said, well, we'll have to start going to some AA meetings. And that's when I started going to AA meetings and I learned about step four and five and all of that stuff. One, two, and three was pretty easy to understand for me, anyways. Let's see. So I should tell you just a little bit about higher power. My higher power is the group and the program, at least. When I have no other higher power, I know the group of people in OA and the program itself is way more powerful than me over food. So I can listen to my higher power and get help. Now, sometimes, and even more than most, I mean, more than half the time now, I think there is a God. And this is fairly new for me because so many great things have happened to me since I moved to South Carolina. And I'm not going to go into them all because it's just ridiculous. too long. But now, if I have a trouble believing that there is a God, I act as if. It just works for me if I act as if. Because I say to myself, well, if you believe in God and try to do the right thing and you die and that's it, there is no God, what have you heard? What have you given away? Nothing. But if you don't believe in God and you live a godless life and you go to the pearly gates and say, oh, I want in, I want in. Well, maybe you're not going to get in. Anyways, that's a foolish way to say how I learned to believe in God. Yeah, I'm definitely of the educational variety. Step four was a nightmare for me. Took me over a year to write step four. I stopped at least twice that I can recall because I didn't want to put on paper that deep, dark secret that I didn't want anybody to know about. How could I possibly share that? And somehow I just got enough of a nudge to finish and give my workaround for this. I started going to retreats pretty early on, and there was one held at the Oblate Retreat Center in Augusta, Maine, which was used to be an nunnery. What do they call them? Convent. And they had still had priests and nuns there, and I picked a priest that I knew was a part of the program and asked him to take my fifth step because I knew he had to have a vow of silence. You know, he couldn't tell anybody what I told him. And I didn't have to look at him every day either because he was an hour away from me where I actually lived. And he took my fifth step. Poor him. He was a smoker. And we were in his office for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, quite a long while. And he did not budge, but the minute we were done, he says, let's go out and burn it. He had an ulterior motive. He wanted to, you know, have a cigarette while we were burning my fifth to fourth step. I can't even remember his name now, but I really give him a lot of thanks for helping me get over the hump of the fifth step. I've done a few since and it's been okay, but he's the only one that knows those deep, dark secrets that never will see the light of day. But guess what? It's good enough. Let's see. Yeah. Six and seven. Like there's like a one paragraph in the big book about six and seven. So I gave it that much attention. Okay. I'm willing. God, take it away, and I was off to the next do it step, you know, figure out who you know, owe an amends to and make an amends. So, six and seven is something that I'm actually working on right now, using a great book that you may know, but it's not conference approved. So, I'm not going to mention it here. But if you want to send me a text, I mean, a chat when the chat opens, I'll tell you what the book is that deals specifically with step six and seven. And it's fabulous. I love it. Okay, let's see. Eight and nine, made a list of all persons. I did that, made direct amends. I did that. I have an amends story, but I'm not going to tell it today because I don't want to run out of time to talk about food in just a couple minutes. Let's see. Continue to take personal inventory. Yeah, I do that every morning. I've not always done it perfectly, but I feel like I'm doing it pretty well now. I get up in the morning and do a few emergency things, and then I sit down with my,
minutes.
okay, thanks. Sit down. Wow, that 20 minutes went fast. I sit down with my diary and I write, and it usually works out very, very well. Let's see. And I give a lot of service. I had to learn how to be careful about giving too much service because I was little Miss OA for a while, and it was hard on me and everybody around me. So I've had to learn to balance and say no sometimes. I want to tell you just a minute about food. I adopted 301 almost right away, and pretty much 301 has been it. And except for some places where I have said, well, I should be able to have this little snack and this little snack. And the minute it was an option, I would be debating about it all the time. Do I need that snack or not? Do I need that snack or not? Oh, it's there. I should have it. And I, you know, anyways, I just learned the hard way, I think, that if when in doubt, leave it out. That's my watchword about food. And so I call myself abstinent from February of 84 in the first place for 301. When I had to go into, tr I had a 7-year relapse and I went into treatment to get out of the relapse. And I learned 3 meals a day with 2 snacks, which worked for a little while. I lost 140 pounds. So it worked for, took me about 3 years, I think, to lose all that weight. And, and today, I have a new version of 301 that makes me responsible for finding the right portion size, which has caused a 30-pound loss so far since October. So I'm coming up on a year of this newest version of my abstinence. None of it has been perfect. I have not had a binge, but I feel really good about this new version. I've learned. I've been on the road for a couple of days. I've learned that when I don't absolutely have to have it, I don't need it now. I had two quick meals, like more like snacks yesterday, because I was busy getting on the road and going. And it was okay. It wasn't horrible. There was a time when I was afraid of being hungry. I'm not afraid of being hungry anymore. So there was so much more I could say. I owe OA my life. I learned to swim because of OA swim laps. I went to college and earned 3 degrees because of OA and found a beautiful job that, I went for 25 years teaching at a community college. And that's an OA thing. That's not me. That's not me. So I love this program. I plan on sticking it out for the long haul, and I think I'm done. Must be close to the end of my 5 minutes. And anybody who has any questions or would like to know more, oh, thank you, Leah. Don't hesitate. Oh, I'm going to show one picture if I can do it. Can you see the lady in the pink top? At the bottom there, that's 331 pounds. That's the highest weight I know of. Not the highest weight though, because I'm pretty sure I got much higher than that before I got into treatment. When I got into treatment, I was afraid to eat, so I think I probably lost some weight just before getting into treatment. Okay, I'm done. I didn't hear anybody say time, but I'm done anyways. Thank you everyone for listening.